I knew he could do a better job at telling you what was going on. And so that's why I asked him. It's good to have my brother Julio here tonight and his wife and children. And I just got back from Texas. And son's in Bible school down there, so pray for his son. His daughter's in Pensacola, so they're going to school there, so pray for them, safety. And a boy called me last night. Boy used to be in our boys' home here. His name is Greg Welch, and Greg called me up crying on the phone. And he's 27 years old, and he said, "Preacher, I didn't listen. I made a mess out of my life." He's crying on the phone. And he says, "Been 10 years." He said, what the Lord used to get a hold of me. He said, "I went into a friend's house to see him." This guy had been in jail, up and down, drugs, you name it. And he was in the boys' home. When he first came here, he was so rebellious that he was punching holes in the walls in the house over there. And 16 years old, just a little guy, too. I mean, just mean and just had hate in him. And so George called me up at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning and said, "What am I going to do with this guy?" So I said, "Well, call JR." So he called JR. JR was a cop. And I said, and JR drove up here in his police car. And it'd be better for somebody like JR, a cop. That's why we had Brian and different people that was involved in the boys' home. It's better for them to do that and have to restrain them than you know, the boys' home. And so JR walks in the gym over here, and Greg is there, and George is trying to make him do calisthenics and for punishment. And he said to George, "If I punch that cop in the face, will I go to jail?" And George said, yeah, you will. So Greg went running at JR, and JR just slapped him down, knocked him on the concrete, and had him on the face. And he got down on top of him and said, "What's the matter with you, boy? You stupid." He said, "I'm going to let you up. Now, are you going to act right?" And he said, "Yes." As soon as he got up, he went swinging again. JR took him back down, put him in the concrete. And so it went on for about an hour. Every time he let him up, he'd do it again. And anyway, he started straightening out. He ended up living with us. And you know, my wife finally said, "He's got to go." And we sent him back to Illinois. And since he's been back in Illinois, he's been in jail half that time, 10 years. And he told me, he's crying on the phone. He's telling me about all the things that's happened and all the things. He's got a little child that he can't even see, 5 years old. And I cried with him, prayed with him. And we talked. He wouldn't stop talking. He just wouldn't stop. And he just said, I needed some comfort from somebody I know that cares. And So we prayed for a while, but he said he went into a house where a friend was dead. He didn't know the guy was dead. He walked in the room, and the guy was in there laying in bed or on the floor with a needle stuck in his arm, dead. And he said God spoke to his heart right then and said, "Boy, if you don't get right, this is where you're going to end up." And I told him, I said, "No, he's at the end of his rope right now." I really thought he was calling because he's going to try to do something to himself. So I told him, I said, "No matter, it's going to be hard to do right. He owes the state $20,000. They took his license. He owes the license $10,000. He's got fines. He's got warrants. He's got all this stuff." You know, and when somebody tells me, you know, you see Christians go back out in the world, they say, "Well, I'm going out to party. I'm gonna show you." Yeah, my foot. I know how it ends up, man. Amen. I've been around long enough. I've seen how it ends up in people's lives. They end up making a mess out of their life. And he's living in a place. They're kicking him out on Monday and no electric. And, you know, I mean, just constant, man. And My heart goes out for him. I didn't offer to pay anything. Didn't offer to do nothing. We prayed, asked God to do something for him, help him, to prove to him. And I said, "Is there a church in your town? A Bible-believing Baptist church? Are they open on Wednesday?" He said, "There's one Baptist church." I said, "Well, go to it Wednesday night. I want to find out if he did." So y'all pray for him. His name's Greg. Take your Bible just for a few minutes tonight. Look at 2 Peter. And I say a few minutes because it's you get in some stuff here. I'm going to read the chapter to you, read the whole thing, and then come back and go over some things. Now, you all know I believe something happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And I believe the world was in the water, out of the water, and that kind of thing. I believe us. When the Bible says there's a firmament, hold your place there. And I'm going to read 2 Peter first, and then we'll go to Genesis 1, and we'll cover some things. But I believe there's going to the first earth was between Genesis 1:1. They call that a gap theory. I don't believe it's a gap theory. I believe it's a gap. I believe that it happened. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, he saw Satan falling from heaven. Satan had a world that he was in control of. Now he's called the god of this world, but he had a place, and he ascended and descended. And that I believe the earth was before the throne of God. And you say, how long was it there? It could have been there for thousands and millions of years. And man's only 6,000 years old. Man's only been around 6,000 years. But something happened in Genesis 1:1, 1:2, and then God made man. So in Genesis. But look in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, and this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. We've seen that. It says, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Great, great verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, into which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, they do it also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, this is the last chapter of 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, and he confirms that Paul wrote many letters and epistles, so he confirms that, and he had Paul's epistles that he was reading from, and he checked out, and he starts out, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And it's good to remember what God's done for you. It's always good. And he's talking about the return of the Lord. When the Bible talks about the Lord coming back, he's talking about the Lord going to be here and that we're going to have scoffers in the last day. We got people making fun about that, making fun about where's the promise of his coming. And he's saying, stir up your pure minds. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And the way you stir yourself up is one thing by getting in this book. Take your Bible, look in Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah 2 and verse 12. You get in this book, it'll stir you up. Whenever I read this book and read about the second coming of Jesus Christ, I get stirred up. I mean, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you need to stir yourself up at times. You need to get stirred up. Get stirred up about the Lord coming back. Get stirred up about seeing souls saved. Some people, you don't think anything can stir them. I've had people say, well, I'm just not emotional. Oh, that's not true. Everybody's got emotions. I mean, everybody's got some kind of emotion. And when a person says, well, I just don't get excited like that. I don't get excited about the Lord coming. You get excited about something. If you got a check, if you went tomorrow morning, went out to the mailbox, and it was $1 million check from a publisher's clearinghouse, I don't think you would go, oh, great. I don't think you would do that. I think you'd be stirred up, man. You'd be doing a little leap, doing a little dance, and all kinds of stuff, doing maybe leaping and shouting and wanting to show everybody what you got. And people, they're strange. I mean, here, the Eagles fans went crazy. I said Sunday, I said, I wanted to see the Eagles win. I said, if they win, they're going to burn down the city. I said, if they lose, they'll probably burn down the city. So, and the Patriot fans started doing that in Boston. And people get crazy. They go crazy over things that don't mount to a hill of beans. Really, I mean, I'm glad the Eagles won, but are you going tomorrow to watch the parade and freezing weather and all that stuff, a bunch of crazy drunken, only way I'd go there if we was passing out tracks and witnessing people. That's the only way I'd go there. But I'm not going to go there just to give these guys. And I watched them. What got me stirred up, I watched them carry the Lombardi trophy down through the crowd. And who was it? He was a former Redskin. I like football. I like all that stuff. I do. I keep up with it. And he's carrying the Lombardi trophy down through there like it was some holy grail. And the guys were leaning over kissing that thing. And I thought, oh, my Lord. They were all kissing in the same spots and stuff. Oh, my Lord. And they were all kissing it, and they were rubbing it, and they were, you know, putting their face on it and all that stuff. I thought, ain't no way I'd kiss that thing. Ain't no way you said, well, they fought hard to get it. Nah, yeah, they did. But, you know, the better fight that anybody could ever fight is when you get to heaven. Can you imagine? I mean, man, you know, the Bible says there's going to be a book come out, and it says, who's going to open the book? Who's going to open the book and the seals thereof? And, man, the Bible says, and John says, I wept much. There was nobody in heaven to open it, nobody worthy enough, nobody in earth. And, man, the book. I know sports. I know that, you know, they get the trophy in hockey and in basketball. I know. I like that stuff. I do. But I'm not going to kiss that stuff. That stuff is not, I'm not going to go crazy over. You see guys and bending over poles. I like what they did in Philadelphia. They greased the poles and they put gear on. But guess what? They still climbed up it. They still got up that mess. And they're going crazy. Why would you burn down your city because your team won? What in the world? Can you imagine if God let people into heaven act like that? What they would try to do to heaven? That's what the devil tried to do. Try to burn down heaven, man. Trying to do something like that. What crazy. I got talking about that, but I don't know why I got to talking about that. But I just watched that. I said, well, look at them fools, man. And I'm glad they won, but just don't act like an idiot. Don't act like a crazy nuts. And people are, you know, well, it's been 100 years since they won. I'll tell you what. The Lord's has been 6,000 years for man, and one day the Lord's going to come back, and we're going to, and you'll find people, you'll find them same people say, you bunch of religious fanatics, you go to church on Wednesday night, you go to church on Sunday night, you bunch of fanatics and all that stuff, and you see them on tape up there in Philly burning things and tearing things down, all that crazy stuff, and we're fanatics, my foot, man, God have mercy, I don't care if the Redskins won the Super Bowl, I never act like that. Never go crazy and act like a fool. I just said, well, they won. They won. All right, good. Good. If you were on fire, you think they would spit on you? If you were on fire, they wouldn't spit on you. But look at Isaiah chapter. We got another Super Bowl coming. We got a Super Bowl that, brother, I tell you what, our king is going to be honored. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to be with him riding on a white horse. And everything in this world is going to matter because of what he's done. What he's done. And like I said, I'm not against. I tell people if your team won, wear your jersey. I'm not against that. I'm not against people wearing their jerseys and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can open your mouth to a stranger about your Eagles, about your Redskins, or about whatever, and you can't open your mouth about Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. I use it. I'll say, oh, Eagle fan, huh? I said, are you saved? You know, what? You know, you can use it. You can use it. I was talking to Cody Zorn just a little while ago. Cody Zorn took a church. He's in North Carolina. And Cody's going to be here with us for the youth rally. But he took a church in North Carolina, and he says, I'm in Kannapolis, North Carolina. I said, Dale Earnhardt's town. He said, you knew that? I said, yeah, it's Dale Earnhardt. He goes, I'm right the next exit. And the church is right off the next exit of Dale Earnhardt Boulevard. And, I mean, for NASCAR fans, this is crazy. I mean, you got people that if you don't love Jesus Christ and put him first in your life, you'll act like a fool about everything else in this world. And like I said, I'm not against sports. I'm not against it. I'm not against somebody getting excited saying, yeah, we won. Fine. Don't tear the city up. Don't burn the cars. Don't flip them over. Don't do all that. What good is that? Now they're out. The cops are all looking at the video so they can go arrest them. Amen. That's what they ought to do. Arrest them suckers. Anyway, I can talk about that. Isaiah, I think maybe Julio, you stirred me up there, brother. Talking about he's a captain, New Jersey. Stirred me up. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12. What were we talking about anyway? Verse 10. It says, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols, he shall utterly what? Idols. And people make idols out of all kinds of stuff. But when you start talking about Jesus and you come to church, and I've been in churches where we start shouting, our group starts shouting, everybody turns around like, what's the matter with them? They're people are crazy. People are fanatics. And you can't, they act like that you can't praise the Lord for anything. And I thank the Lord we can. Amen. I'm going to do it anywhere. Anywhere we go, we're going to do it. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All right. Look back to 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And boy, that's what you got to protect. You got to protect this mind. This mind, boy, I tell you what, this mind is a world of iniquity. I mean, all the stuff I put in my head before I was saved, all this stuff I've had in my mind from before I was saved, and all that stuff, and even after I was saved, stuff that's been in my, and went through my eye gate, my ear gate, all that stuff in there, and it says, stir up your pure mind. And the only thing that can help your mind get pure is this book. When you read the Word of God, and the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. They say this boy, there was a boy just killed himself. They think he killed himself. He was a coach up there in Middletown, and he was a high school coach, and he's 31 years old. And he said to somebody, I don't know, this might be hearsay, but somebody told me today, he said, if the Eagles win, he said, I'm going to kill myself. And he was playing with a gun and messed with it and killed him, shot by accident. My Lord, brother, if that boy wasn't saved, God have mercy. God have mercy. It says, your pure mind by way of remembrance. Remember where God brought you from. Remember what he's done for you. Where are you going? I preach a message called, I thank God for what he brought me from, where I am now, and where I'm heading. And boy, I tell you what, I thank the Lord for that. And boy, I tell you what, you ought to thank the Lord for where you were heading. And people don't like you to say, I just did Andrew's and Kaylee's. I got it. I called her Kylie at her wedding just Friday. I said, Kylie, and he looked at me like, I'm not marrying Kylie, I'm marrying Kaylee. And so I got it right. But I said that for a reason. Yeah, that was the reason I said that. No. I know he's an Eagles fan. I'm not picking on him, but I'm just saying. Man, that slipped my mind. It didn't matter, I guess. Stir up your pure minds. The way of remembrance. You know what happens when you get older, man? You forget. You get forgetful. Oh, my. I don't know. Anyway, may I introduce to y'all Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Charles Ebert. Why don't y'all stand up and take a bow? Well, I'm going to do that Sunday. Amen. They just got married Friday night. What a blessing. It was a beautiful wedding. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Just a good time. Amen. And pray the Lord bless them. Amen. And give them long life until the Lord come back. And I told y'all Sunday, I said, I can't get over that before he got married, he gave me an envelope and said, I want to make sure I pay my tithe. What? I mean, people don't do that. Christians these days don't do that. And before he got married, he got paid this tithe. I went, man, where you been, brother? Why can't more people be like you? Why?
He knew he wouldn't have it after he got married.
Bye-bye. No money after you marry. You don't. Does she have a credit card?
No. Amen.
Do you have a credit card?
No.
Okay. Amen. Good. Amen. I'm gonna tell you something. Statistics show men spend more money than women on credit cards.
Is that right? We
get bigger, better stuff. I'm trying to stir up your pure mind tonight. Peter's talking about the second coming of the Lord. And brother, I'll tell you what, if we can stir ourselves up, that's why, you know, the Bible says this. Look in Hebrews. Look at this. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Still trying to think why I said to mention them. Hebrews chapter 10. Wrong way. Hebrews 10. Now, still going the wrong way. My wife said to me, you're losing it. Hebrews 10, look at verse 25. It says, and I realize it's a tribulation pastor, but we use it as an exhortation for Christians to get in church. And I've had people say, well, if you can show me a verse where I'm supposed to go to church and all that, here it is. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day when Jesus Christ is coming back and evil is going to be more prevalent in this life, we're going to have more Christians falling by the wayside, more preachers going out and doing all kinds of Cody Zorn told me this. He said, I said, what happened to the church that you took? I mean, what happened to the church? He's an evangelist. And he said, I felt like, Lord, when we take it, he said, the church went through, the pastor got cancer. And he said, the pastor got cancer. He's running about 400. And he said, the pastor got cancer, and then the song director split the church, took a bunch of people with him. So the pastor got on medication, and he's taking medication. He's kind of in and out of it, like I sometimes. And he's in and out of it, and he said, and ran the church down. But then he went to the safe of the church and started taking money out. They had it on video, and he started stealing money. And then when he did that, that's when the church, you know, confronted him. They didn't have a pastor for about a year. And I said, you know, there's churches all over this country, the same stuff. I mean, stuff happens. There's churches that need pastors, and the churches are down. I mean, thank God for the churches are still strong, still going on. Bible believing, but it hurts the community. And And boy, I tell you what, just keep your mind on him. Keep your heart on him. Pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. Now, you got all the Old Testament. You got all the prophecies, what Jesus said, what he taught, and what the prophets taught, and what all the way through that Old Testament, it all the prophets are pointing towards that day when the Lord God gets his rightful place. And I'm looking forward to that day. It says, be ye mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And brother, I tell you what, if there ever was a day, we're in that day. We're in that day right now. People mocking and making fun, but they use God's name whenever they feel, you know, they need God to do a blessing for them or wave a magic wand to give them a blessing. But we're in that day where people make fun of people that love God and want to witness to people and tell people about Jesus Christ. And one thing I can't stand when I pass out a track, when I try to give somebody a track, I can't stand when somebody says, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I said, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. I'm good, man. I'm good. No, you ain't. You ain't good. There's none good. You ain't good. I said, you know what? If somebody gave me a track, I think I had one time somebody gave me a track. You know what I did? I could not thank them enough. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I thanked them. I didn't say, hey, man, I'm good. I'm good. Give it somebody else. Somebody else that needs it. I'm good. I didn't do that. I thank God for people that would pass out the word of God and get it out. It says that, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words. He said, what words? Man, there's all kinds of words in the Old Testament. 39 books of the Old Testament. And you know what thrills me is knowing one day the Lord's going to set everything right. Amen. Everything's going to be set right. How many of y'all watched the State of the Union? How many of y'all watched that? Amen. I watched it. I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Except for then you look over there and you see the... And people walked out when they started yelling, you know, USA, USA. And they walked out. But you know what? Nobody's going to walk out when the Lord's speaking. Nobody's going to walk out. Nobody's going to walk out. But that Bible talks about the day when Jesus Christ gets his rightful place. Take your Bible, look in Isaiah chapter 7. Look in Isaiah 7. I love this. I like to read this at the United Nations. I like to go up there and just read this to them. Ken was telling me yesterday or the day before, we're going to Israel, and he said that Netanyahu has a Facebook page that if you're a Christian, there's a possibility you might be able to meet up with him. So, huh? American Christians might be able to meet up with him if they come to Israel. I'm praying that we can meet up with him. I'm praying. That'd be a blessing. That'd be a real, real honor for me. I'm not going to fall over myself and slobber on him and all that stuff, but it'd be a real honor to meet the man. And I understand he's a Messianic Jew. He believes in the Messiah and be saved. That's what I understand, but we'll find out. But look at verse 14, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel's got 8 letters in it, and you heard me say it over and over and over again. 8 letters, number, new beginning. And all the names in heaven have 7 letters. Michael, Lucifer, all those. They all have 7 letters. Jesus, you said, what about Jesus? He's called Emmanuel. That's 8 and means the new beginning. It says, butter and honey shall ye eat, that ye may know, he may know to refuse evil and choose good. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And look at Isaiah 9. Look at Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It says, for on us a child is born, on us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Not just the U.S. government. Not just the whole world is going to be his government. The whole world shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. So praise the Lord, man. I'm excited about the day when the Lord gets his rightful place. And if you get excited about the teams winning and you jump up and down, I hope you do the same thing when you get excited about God. I hope you do the same. Give him the same honor and give him the same praise. You say, have you? I get crazy sometimes. I'll get running around screaming and shouting and jump off of things and all that stuff. Like to climb a pole and all that, but I won't bend it. I won't bend the pole and I won't set the place on fire. But I tell you, I get excited about what God's done for me. Amen. It says that, verse 2, said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Those apostles, they got excited about what God's done when the Lord came. Peter, the Bible says he was out in the sea when he went a fishing, and the Lord came up to the shore, and I thank God the Lord's like this. The Lord, sometimes we get in our mind, the Lord should have had a whip and lightning and burnt them, but the Lord was standing on the shore and says, children, have you caught any meat? And Simon Peter's probably like, who is that jerk asking us? We're commercial, we haven't caught nothing all night, but who in the world is that jerk up there saying, have you caught any meat? And all of a sudden, John says, that's Jesus. Simon Peter rips off his coat, jumps overboard, swims to the shore. And when he gets there, the Lord doesn't stand there and rebukes him and start yelling at him. He's down there cooking. Bible says they brought the draught in, all the fishes and everything. They brought it all in, the net, and then they all sat down, and Jesus said, y'all like some meat? Y'all like some? Here you go. Start passing around. He's cooking it. Then he looks at Simon Peter. As Simon Peter probably got a mouthful, he's eating. He said, you love me? That's one thing that scares me, when have him look in your eyes. You love me? You know, when you love somebody, you show it. And the Bible says, if a man loves God, the same is known of him. You love, the reason I do what I do is because I love him. I love him for what he's done for me, where he brought me from. What he's doing for me daily, I love him. I'm not forced to pastor. I'm not forced to witness. I'm not forced to do it. I'm not forced to help people. I do it because I love him. Amen. Simon, you love me? Lord, you know I love you. 3 times. I think about him looking me in the eyes and saying, how come you said you love me? How come you didn't keep my words? How come you didn't keep my commandments? I don't want him to look me in the eyes and say that. God help me, I don't want that. We'll stop right there.